If you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll be reading from there shortly. 2 Peter in chapter 3. But tonight, I'd like to thank you all for coming out this evening to hear a word, some words from our Bible and from our Lord as He spoke them. And I hope that you will follow along in your Bibles and read along so it may be a benefit to you as this study has been a benefit to me. Now, in our generation, and I guess our world, many people have thought about where we came from. Did I come from, you know, a speck that started from nothing and then grew up to what is now? Or did God create me? Or did something else happen? Well, in our generation, in our day and age, we have two main ideas. We have evolution and creation. Now, those are the two main ideas of where we came from and how all of this started. But there is a third idea that is starting to grow in popularity, known as theistic evolution. Now, theistic evolution is pretty much putting creation and evolution together in one. Because they want to follow what they want to follow with God, but they also want to follow along with what is evolutionary views. So tonight I would like to look at theistic evolution and kind of show why theistic evolution doesn't correlate with the Bible and evolution together, and how theistic evolution cannot be something that where we came from. Now, what is theistic evolution? Well, theistic evolution is the idea that God created everything through evolution, that God is the one who placed the speck on the earth in the first place, and from that, it abounded into everything we see now. And this main idea, it comes from 2 Peter in chapter 3 in verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So this idea started that the days of creation that we read in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll be reading from there shortly, so if you'd like to turn over to Genesis, we'll be reading from there. But this idea abounded that the days, the 6 days of creation and then the 7th day of rest, are not literal days. They are, you know, figurative, as in thousands of years, instead of just one actual day. So I'd like to look at that and show that the days of creation are 6 literal days, and not, you know, figuratively speaking, of millions of years, thousands of years. So evolution contradicts the Bible. We can see it with the sun and the stars before Earth. That is what evolutionists will claim, that the sun and the stars came before Earth. But the Bible says differently. Evolutionists will say sun is about 5 billion years old, while Earth is only 4.6 billion years old. Well, we can see that the Bible says that Earth came before the sun. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first verse in the Bible that we read is that God created the heavens and the earth. If we look down a little bit to verse 5, we can see that God created the light. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So the earth was created on the first day. And the sun was created on the 4th day. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. Then God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. And then we can look down a little bit in verse 19. So the evening and the morning were the 4th day. So God created the heaven, or God created the sun and the stars after the earth. But evolution says that, well, no, the sun and the stars came before earth came. And so we can see that with this one thing, that it pretty much contradicts what the Bible says. So to believe that evolution and the Bible can correlate together into this theistic evolution is absurd. But I'd like to look at some more things that contradicts in the Bible with creation. Evolutionists will say that marine life came before plants. Well, as you can probably tell that in the Bible, that's not what happened. Land plants came on day 3. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 1, 11 and 12. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then in verse 13, we can see that it says, so the evening and the morning were the third day. So God created the land plants and the plants on the earth on day 3. And the marine life He created on day 5. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then we can look down a little bit in verse 23. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Also, evolutionists will say that insects came before fish, that this one single-celled organism that abounded into everything created insects first, and then after a while, the insects decided to turn into other things, and then those other things decided to turn into fish. Well, we can see that the Bible says it differently, that fish came before insects. So, fish, day 5, Genesis 1, 20 and 21, what we just read. And insects on day 6, Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Genesis 1, 24 and 25. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And we can look down in verse 31 and see that. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We can see also the same thing with reptiles and birds. Evolutionists say that reptiles came before birds, which is interesting because people believe that the velociraptor had feathers on it, which is a dinosaur, a reptile, and that the velociraptor, over millions of years of evolution and mutations and everything, decided to finally turn into a bird, which doesn't make much sense, but that's what they'll say. And I don't want to get into too much of the evolution because I want to focus on that next week. I'm going to be looking at evolution versus creation next week. So, as we can see again, birds in day 5, as we had read in Genesis 1, 20 and 21, and reptiles, day 6, every creeping thing, every beast, in Genesis chapter 1, 24 and 25. Now, another thing is, evolutionists will tell us, is that humans, we as humans, formed from ape-like creatures. We came up from, we were monkeys, and then through millions of years of evolution, we turned into what we are now. Well, actually, the Bible tells us that God made man and woman. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Verses 21 and 22. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took, he being God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So we can see that the Bible says that God created man and woman, that He made them. He didn't form them from ape-like creatures. He didn't allow them to be monkeys and form from the beast, because if we did form from beasts, then why would the Bible tell us that He created us as men as well? Also, evolution requires billions of years of mutations to evolve in what we see now. That's what evolutionists will tell us. But we can see that actually God made everything according to its kind. You know, something, a single-celled organism didn't explode into everything we see now. And then, you know, it was just in between creatures of birds and reptiles, in between creatures and, you know, through evolution and everything that we now have what we see today. But God made everything according to its kind. And we can see this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 21 and verse 25. Genesis chapter 1, 21 and 25. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, in which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. We can see that it's mentioned over and over again that God made these things according to their kind. A cattle didn't become a whale, crawl into the ocean and decide to become a whale one day, and then millions of years later come back out and be cattle again, and then go back into the water and be a whale, and then come back out and be a cattle again. That's what evolutionists will tell you is what happened. But God said that He made it according to its kind. And that, so we can see that God made things fully what they are now. What we see was what was made back then as well. Also, creation, it was in 6 days. Now, this is where we'll get into the topic of, was 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 really talking about, you know, showing that creation was actual, not literal days, but figuratively speaking, thousands of years. Well, we can see that evolution occurred over billions of years and not 6 days. So this is kind of a contradiction they have here in theistic evolution. So like I said, they'll explain it away with 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But we can see with one thing that the days and the evening, or days have evening and morning. We can see this. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verses 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. Now I'm not going to read all of them. I'll just read the first couple. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. God called the light day and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. And He continues this cycle of, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And so on and so forth. So we can see that can we tell that does an eon have an evening and a morning? In fact, does 2 days have one evening and one morning? No, we know that 2 days has 2 evenings and 2 mornings. And the same thing with eons would have millions or thousands of evenings and thousands of mornings, not just one. And even if we want to look at this and say that there was only one evening and one morning talking about this, then how would plant life survive? You know, the plant life God created on day three, if it was millions of years of darkness, thousands of years of darkness, then wouldn't the plants all die? Because they have to photosynthesize. And if the plants didn't photosynthesize and all died, the creatures that eat the plants would die as well because they would have no food. And the creatures that eat other creatures would die because all those animals that ate the plants would die as well. So then everything that God created would have died. So we could tell that this evening and morning was not one literal evening and one literal morning, or that it was one literal evening and one literal morning, along with the days being literal 6 days. Also, look in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. As we see in the Bible, did they celebrate the Sabbath day over a thousand year period, over day in and day out, over 1,000 years? And then after that 1,000 years was over, did they start worshiping or start doing other things on the 6 other days? Because the 6 days here are the same days as we see in Genesis. The writing is by the same person. The writing style is the same. It never changes. So how can you claim and say that the days in Genesis chapter 2 or Genesis chapter 1 are not literal days, but these days are literal days? Why do they claim that? Well, it's because they're twisting the scriptures to mean what they want it to mean. And that's another whole deal in itself, is that they're twisting scriptures to mean literal days and not literal days and doing whatever they want. And that's man's thoughts and ideas and not what God wanted us or intended to us. Also look in Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. If, for let's say, that it was, the Sabbath day was 1,000 years, you know, they served it through thousands of years, then why does it tell us that they are to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations? As we can see from in the Bible, like I said, they did it on every seventh day, on every Saturday. They didn't do it day in and day out for a 1,000 million year kind of reign period, and then the other 6 days that they didn't do that. No, because it tells them to serve throughout their generations. And if millions of years pass by with waiting to do the Sabbath between days 1 and 6, so the little 6 million or 6 billion years, however much you want to add to it, they couldn't do this. They couldn't fulfill this commandment. So we can see that the days were literal 6 days, and not figuratively speaking of thousands or millions of years. Also, another contradiction that we see is that man and women were since the beginning. Look in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19 and verse 4. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not heard that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So Jesus here is pretty much telling us that, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? So we can see that the Lord made male and female at the beginning. But evolutionists will tell you that humans came way after the earth was created. The earth is approximately 4.6 billion years old, and it came around about 4.6 billion years ago, is what evolutionists will tell you. And then they'll say that man came along about 3.6 million years ago, which is absurd because, you know, the Bible claims that man came at the beginning, was at the beginning. We're going to look at some verses that show us this. Look in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 21. Isaiah 40 and verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? So we can see here that the prophet Isaiah is suggesting that man has known. Have you not known? Have you not heard? He's suggesting that they have known and they've heard from the beginning, from creation. Also look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we can see here the writer of Romans, Paul, is suggesting that his attributes are clearly seen, which suggests that there had to be an intelligent something or an intelligent someone at the beginning to understand these things, to clearly see them. So we can see that he is suggesting that man has been there since the beginning. Also look in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, "So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." So we can see the Hebrew writer here is quoting Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. So he's talking about the works of creation. And we can see in verse 3 that it says, "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Well, we can see on the sixth day that man was a work. That man was created by God on the sixth day is what the Bible claims. So we have been there since the foundations of the world. So this leaves us with two choices now. Now that we have seen that, you know, theistic evolution contradicts the Bible, then there's only two main choices that we really have. That is evolution and creation. Now there's no way to 100% prove either, since, you know, none of us here were there at the beginning. But we can look at some evidences and look at some of the contradictions that evolution has, and then the evidences of creation and the evidences of evolution, and weigh both of those and see which one comes out on top. And that would be creation. And that's what I would like to look at next week. So I hope this study has been beneficial to you all. I just want to make a point that we can't choose theistic evolution. We can't be 100% sure of evolution or creation. But we can be 100% sure that theistic evolution cannot happen. You cannot put something that is godly, that is, you know, set apart, and then take something of the world and the world's ideas and put them together. That just doesn't go. So we can be 100% certain that these two things do not go together. And the fact is, we can see in Revelations chapter 3 that we get an idea of this. You know, God said, or Jesus said, that he wishes we were warm or we were cold. But we are lukewarm, so he spits us out of his mouth, is what he's talking about some people who are lukewarm. He'd rather you be warm or cold, not lukewarm. And the people who choose theistic evolution choose to be lukewarm, and God will vomit him out of his mouth. So thank you. If there are any here tonight who have had problems in their lives, have fallen off the straight and narrow path, you are a Christian and you've strayed from the path, we ask you to please come forward, asking God for forgiveness, saying that you repenting for all your from your sins, asking Him for forgiveness, and ask for the prayers of the brethren, because we will help and encourage you. And if you are not a Christian, we ask you to come forward. If you have heard the Word of God and truly believe that it is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we ask you to come forward, repenting of your sins, asking God for forgiveness and turning away. Do not look back, but turning completely away from your sins and heading in a godly direction. And then to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And to finally be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then remain faithful unto death, as we can see in Revelation chapter 2. If any of this applies to you or anything you want to make known, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.